saw Democrats doing that for years in what became appropriately known as the Russia hoax. We saw them say for years that they had slam dunk evidence of a relationship between President Trump and Putin. It was all lies, as their Christopher Steele even admitted. It could have been the information he got came from Putin lackeys. So it was bought and paid for by the Democrats, and we see the same ungodly, outrageous type maneuvers going on through this January 6th commission. So we are going to need to pursue this commission and find out just how abusive they've been, because we can't tell superficially. It's going to require a deep dive once an appropriate majority has the reins and that understands constitutional limitations.
The committee has proposed having hearings, having them public, having them up until the summer. We all know that next year is a midterm year, right? Yeah. What do you think is going on?
I know what's going on. They're hoping that with all the damage that they've done to their parties by the overreach, by the COVID use to take away constitutional rights, tell people it was for their own good, they know they're looking bad for next year's election. So they're seeing this as a political opportunity to try to bludgeon Republicans, and it won't matter whether it's true or not. Anything that they can throw out at Republicans that might help them in the next election 11 months from now, they're going to use it, and they're going to do it.
All right.
And so you can expect lots of hearings and lots of public hearings where they trash Republicans.
Yep, yep, Louis Gohmert, I love him. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
This is John Kovacs, conservative Republican candidate for Congress in Nevada's 3rd Congressional District. I'm running for Congress because our country, teetering on the brink under Democratic Party rule, which has only become more apparent since Joe Biden's ascension to the White House. From his killing of the Keystone XL pipeline, to his abandonment of our southern border, and blundered pullout from Afghanistan, the Biden administration has been an unmitigated disaster from the beginning. Now we become aware of his intent to award $450,000 to illegal immigrants. As our food prices are skyrocketing, gas prices are soaring, and unemployment in Las Vegas leads the nation. All the while, our congressional leaders stand by idly and do nothing. That's why I'm asking for your vote, so you can send me to Washington to fix this mess. Go to my website, KovacsForCongress.com, to join our movement and support the cause. Please support me as I fight for you. Paid for by John Kovacs for Congress.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm John Scott. New York's governor imposing a mask mandate for indoor public places. Ben Thomas reports.
Facing a winter surge in COVID-19 infections, New York Governor Kathy Hochul says masks will be required in all indoor public places unless the businesses or venues implement a vaccine requirement. Hochul says the decision is based on the state's 7-day case rate and an increase in hospitalizations. The mask mandate applies to both patrons and staff and will be in effect from December 13th, that's Monday, through January 15th, at which point it'll be reevaluated. Several other states already have mask mandates. I'm Ben Thomas.
Also at townhall.com, President Biden says his friend Bob Dole was an American hero.
Bob was a man who always did his duty, who lived by a code of honor. Almost seems strange to say that today, but he lived by a code of honor, and he meant it.
The president spoke at the former Kansas senator's funeral today at the National Cathedral in Washington. A truck jammed with as many as 200 migrants crashing into the base of a steel pedestrian bridge in southern Mexico, killing 55. In addition to those killed Thursday evening, at least 52 injured. It was one of the deadliest days for migrants in Mexico since a 2010 massacre of 72 people by the Zetas drug cartel in the northern state of Tamaulipas. Prices for U.S. consumers jumping 6.8% in November compared with a year earlier.
That has left Americans with their highest annual inflation rate since 1982, according to the Labor Department. And four-time Indy 500 winner Al Unser has died. Unser was 82. Stocks finishing higher today. The Dow up 217 points. The S&P 44 higher. More at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
With a Democratic sweep officially in place, we are now at the mercy of tax and spend economics. Get ready for runaway national debt pushing the further devaluation of the dollar. So if you haven't invested in gold, now is the time to protect your savings. Birch Gold Group is the premier precious metals IRA company in America. With an A+ BBB rating and thousands of satisfied customers, Birch Gold can help you move an eligible IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by gold. Go to birchgold.com/radio for your free information kit. That's birchgold.com/radio.
Alex and Orlando De Castroverde grew up in a hardworking Nevada family. Their mom and dad both worked as dealers, even while dad got his law degree. They built De Castroverde Law Group Personal Injury to carry on their father's legacy. When you've been injured, they understand your challenges and fight for the compensation you deserve. De Castroverde Law Group Personal Injury. Our family will fight for yours. Online at dlgteam.com or call 702-222-9999.
A union we can count on. A union with a legacy known for hard work and getting things done. We're the ones who built this city with pride. Our members are our family, and their well-being is our number one priority. Laborers Union Local 872. Vegas strong, union proud.
It's 104. This is your KMZQ Newsflash, powered by De Castroverde Law Group. If you've been injured, their family will fight for yours. I'm Jim Dallas. Clark County's 14-day COVID-19 test positivity rate has inched upward again, creeping up 0.1% to 7.4%. The 14-day rolling rate has increased 1.6 percentage points from its recent low of 5.8% on November 3rd. As of yesterday, 53.17% of eligible Nevadans 5 and older have been vaccinated. The state is making $30 million in federal pandemic funding available to Nevada nonprofits to help with the impact of COVID-19. State officials say they heard about the community needs during its recently concluded statewide listening tour about how to use the more than $6 billion in federal help that Nevada got under the America Rescue Plan. The nonprofits can apply for community recovery grants through January 3rd using a new website, NevadaRecovers.com. Congratulations to former Golden Knights goaltender Marc-Andre Fleury. The fan favorite recorded his 500th NHL win with the Chicago Blackhawks 2-0 win over the Montreal Canadiens. He's in elite company, joining Martin Brodauer and Patrick Roy is the only goalies to reach the 500 win milestone.
KMZQ on time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Come in now and get up to $50 off brake pads or shoes and a lifetime warranty.
Watch for a stranded vehicle. It's on the right shoulder, US 95 eastbound at Valley View. If you're in the right lane there, be careful. Also, slow flows through the downtown area, 515 eastbound at the 15 interchange. Some sluggishness through that area as well.
Gather around. And in addition to that, we have to make sure that we are in a position that we are. Well, let me go to the second thing. I've spoken enough of that.
And what makes his wild claims and hopes. He now hopes we don't notice what he said or won't remember. And when he does follow through or doesn't do when you follow through, the exact opposite.
Check it out!
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. It's just, when you think about it.
Don't call me stupid.
Oh, right! To call you stupid would be an insult to stupid people!
Number one!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Hour number two for a Friday. Good to have you with us, live and local. And don't forget, coming up, Wayne Allen Root, 3 to 6. He'll be talking about the big news of the day, which obviously is inflation is up 6.8% from a year ago, and it's getting worse. The president is trying to portray it as... essentially, this is the peak of the inflation, but he has no evidence to back that up. Also, it comes at a time when nearly one in four Americans say it's difficult to afford their prescription medications. Is inflation hitting the prescription drug market the same way it's hitting gasoline and clothing and food and things like that? Let's check in with Mark Bloom. He is the executive director of America's Agenda, Healthcare for All, and he joins us. Mark, how you doing?
Great to be with you today. I'm doing well.
I want to ask you, and I don't mean to blindside you on this one, but we heard about the 6.8% overall inflation. Is that kind of inflation happening in the prescription drug world?
It is. In fact, cost of prescription drugs are going up more rapidly than that in general, but it's not for the same reason. Inflation you're talking about right now is a recent phenomenon. Inflation in prescription drugs has begun several years ago. It's really a different situation driving it.
Tell me what America's Agenda, Healthcare for All, is. You're the executive director.
Sure. It is a alliance of unions, employers, health industry stakeholders, that are concerned about making sure that healthcare is affordable for all Americans. And we were a founding member of a coalition that also includes pharmacists, consumer advocates, and others who are concerned about the rising cost of prescription drugs. We recently did a research study really wanting to get at why the rise in prescription drug prices has been so consistent over the last several years and what can be done about it. So we have really focused at the relationship of drug manufacturers, consumers, health plans, pharmacists, with an intermediary in the marketplace, a middleman, which is known as a pharmacy benefit manager. These are little understood, little known by most people. They're not very, very clearly recognized, but they are huge corporations, Fortune 25 corporations that essentially buy prescription drugs from manufacturers and then resell them to health plans and to patients. They also reimburse pharmacists for dispensing drugs, and they also make money off of reimbursing pharmacists less than they actually charge employer and union health plans. So we have come to recognize that when we buy prescription drugs, we're not buying them from manufacturers at all. We are buying them from PBMs. PBMs are negotiating with manufacturers, and they're all involved in a marketplace that has these really perverse incentives to drive prices upwards, rather than make drugs more affordable for people who need them.
Again, Mark Bloom joining us, Executive Director of America's Agenda Healthcare for All. Why do the manufacturers allow a middleman to get in between themselves and the consumer, they could, knowing that they could sell the drug, the pharmaceutical, for a lot less money if you eliminated the middleman? I mean, why, I would think it would be advantageous to the manufacturers to avoid the middleman.
There's really two reasons why this has happened. The first reason is that early on, manufacturers were actually involved in supporting the development, the creation of pharmacy benefit managers, because what they did was they aggregated lots of buyers, individual people, individual companies, employment-based health plans, insurance plans, aggregated them together to bring them volume sales. Selling in volume is much less expensive. It's more efficient than selling to hundreds, thousands, millions of individual buyers. So that was very attractive to manufacturers initially. And the value proposition of these BPMs was that if we can aggregate volume of demand, we can actually leverage that to lower prices and pass those prices on to our clients. Health plans, individual patients, made a lot of sense. So that's why it was done. And there's a second reason, and that is we've got a legal system which, for a bunch of reasons, has created a rebate system, which in which there's a price of a drug. It's called the list price, but the actual net price of the drug is the list price minus a discount. And so when PBMs go to bargain or negotiate prices with drug manufacturers, they're negotiating both the list price and the discount. Now, this is really important because the idea of rebates came about because in Medicaid, for example, there is a rule that every state Medicaid plan gets the lowest commercially available price, a kind of a best nation price for a drug. And so manufacturer didn't want to lower the price for anybody and then have to offer that lower price for everybody. So the rebates were a way that they could charge higher prices and then rebate the money and offer a lower net price to a PBM. The result of that, however, is that PBMs saw that they had a profit line in actually negotiating higher list prices, high rebates, and then not passing those rebates through entirely. A lot of people began to focus on, well, if the PBMs only pass through those rebates, then employers, unions, patients could get lower net prices. Problem is that the prices people pay at the pharmacy counter, their cost share, is often tied to the list price, not the net price, that is the list price minus the rebate. Another part of the problem is that PBMs have developed an incentive to prefer higher list prices because their profits are often tied to higher list price, to the list price. And so even though the health plan may get full pass-through of the rebate, the individual is still saddled with a high cost share and a high list price, and the PBM is making more money from preferring those high prices. The Senate Finance Committee recently did a study of insulin and found that PBMs in many cases prefer a higher cost insulin rather than a lower cost alternative, because they can make more money on the higher list price. The net result is the health plan may get the rebate passed through entirely to it, but the patient is still paying a cost share based on the list price. It's unaffordable. Just an example of how the whole marketplace has become so complex, so opaque, that is no transparency for consumers at all as to what their real prices are. And the marketplace is also so uncompetitive that consumers don't really get a fair and affordable price. How uncompetitive is that marketplace? Well, figure this. The three largest PBMs in the country account for almost 80%, 77% in the recent study we just completed, of all prescription drugs go through just three companies, Fortune 25 companies. Not only that, we've seen as they've started to pass through more and more rebates to their clients under public pressure, a number of states have actually sued PBMs for not passing through those rebates and price gouging in Medicaid, for example. The PBMs have started to pass through much more of the rebates, but then they have moved to other kinds of fees assessed on manufacturers and on health plans and on pharmacists to get back those profits. And now, today, we've seen PBMs are also acquiring pharmacy chains. Every one of the three major PBMs is affiliated with a major insurance company. So we have these vertically integrated conglomerates owned by PBMs or that own PBMs. The most recent phenomenon is two of the three have now opened offices abroad in Northern Ireland and Denmark, countries where they have no business at all. So if you would ask me, why are they doing that? I would say, I don't know. It's just harder to see them. They're less transparent. It's harder to regulate them. So America is looking at these market intermediaries that actually have crushed competition in the marketplace and are passing on prices through complex schemes onto consumers. We're not saying that pharmacy manufacturers don't have responsibility in this game too, and there's been a lot of focus on them. We're saying that if we don't solve the PBM piece, the middleman in this marketplace, we can't actually get drug prices under control.
Again, Mark Bloom joining us, the executive director of America's Agenda, Healthcare for All. And I got to ask you, you mentioned the PBMs and you mentioned foreign countries. Do the PBMs have a role in why drugs are so much cheaper in Ireland, in the UK, in Canada than they are in the US of A?
No, they really don't. The drugs are so much cheaper there because their national health systems buy the drugs directly from manufacturer in bulk without a market intermediary. The reason drugs are so much higher in this country, to understand that, we've got to look at the fact that first, manufacturers don't sell directly to consumers, to government, or to state or federal government, or to employer union health plans. They operate through an intermediary. That intermediary has the effect of actually driving prices up rather than lowering prices. They're actually creating savings through leveraging their volume to negotiate better savings out of manufacturers. Problem is, they're not passing those savings on to the people that purchase the drugs.
Let me ask you, and this is a point of personal privilege. I go and I purchase drugs all the time at Walmart. And the last couple of trips I've made to Walmart, I had a zero copay. I paid them nothing. They handed me the pharmaceutical, and I gave them nothing in return. Who's paying for those drugs?
Your health plan is paying for those drugs.
And whether
your health plan shares the cost with you or not depends on the benefit. It sounds like your employer gives you a very good health plan benefit. A lot of our union plans, which I'm quite familiar with, offer zero or close to zero employee or worker cost sharing, too. Basically, the health plan pays the full cost without sharing the cost. And it sounds like you've got a very good health plan.
And I've also reached my out-of-pocket for the year, and so a lot of stuff is cheaper, doctor's visits and things like that. What is it you want done, Mark, and your organization? What kind of legislation do you want to outlaw PBMs, or you want to rein them in? You want to kind of regulate them?
Yeah, listen, I'm not saying that PBMs are villains or bad guys. They're doing what every business ought to do. They're trying to make a profit, and the problem is they're doing it in a marketplace which basically doesn't function to create the best outcomes for consumers, for patients, for purchasers. What I think needs to be done essentially is that market needs, which is broken, needs to work well. If three companies controlled 80% of the marketplace and were vertically integrated in another industry some decades ago, they would face antitrust litigation, they would be broken up and brought back into a marketplace as competitors rather than market dominators. That's the first thing. So to look at the absence of competition needs to happen. The second thing we would argue is we need to begin to pay PBMs transparently for the price of the service they provide and eliminate all of the different ways they take take income out of the same transaction. Now, one way to do that is to require them to become fiduciaries, to actually operate in the interest of their clients, as fiduciaries do, and pay them a simple fee for providing the service of buying drugs and giving their clients the lowest possible price, paying them a transparent, clear fee for that, rather than leaving it up to them to make profits out of every aspect of the transaction from every player in the drug supply chain that they can. So if they're required to be fiduciaries and paid a simple, clear price for their services, and we turn the PBM marketplace into a competitive marketplace, that could have the desired result. Let me give you an example. New Jersey decided to go the route of creating a competitive marketplace. What they did is they said, look, we're buying drugs for hundreds of thousands of public employees. We don't actually know the price of those drugs. They're changing constantly over a contract. There are hundreds, even thousands of drugs in the formulary. We never know what it costs until we get the bill, and it's always higher than we expect. So let's do this. Let's use big data technology. Let us get PBMs to give us their bids. Let's calculate out based on data from the drug price marketplace. Let's calculate out what those drugs are going to cost us over the life of this contract, year one, year two, year three of a three-year contract. But let's do this. This is really important. Let's take the cost of each of their bids, and let's let the other PBMs see our calculation of the cost of each of their bids, and let's let them compete against each other to lower their costs to the state. They did that. That competition doesn't generally exist in the health, in the prescription drug marketplace. They created a marketplace where they're trying to undercut each other. We call it a reverse auction, bid down the price of winning the state's business. You know how much they saved? $2.5 billion over 5 years. $500,000 a year to the state taxpayers, simply from creating competition in that marketplace that had previously been dominated by one of the big three.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's an example of what we could be doing through smart public policy to make the marketplace work, not to attack these guys as bad guys, but make the market that they operate in work for consumers.
Hey, Mark, how can folks find out more about America's Agenda, Healthcare for All, and the work that you're doing?
Well, they could look at our website, which is americasagenda.org. But I'd really ask your listeners to look at the PBM Accountability Project, which just published a study looking at all publicly available data. Follow the money. Look how the PBM business model works. Look how the money flows. And look how PBMs have managed to continue to increase the prices of prescription drugs and their gross profits over the period that was evaluated. The PBM Accountability Project's website, and that's really the one to get into this issue, is pbmaccountability.org, www.pbm.pbmaccountability.org. And the financial story based on their own reporting will be revealed for people to understand.
Hey, Mark Bloom, thank you so much for taking time to join us and explain this. I had not heard about PBMs before. I know about it now. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk again soon.
It's a privilege to talk to you. Thank you.
There you go. Mark Bloom and PBM. And if you don't know what that is, Pharmacy Benefit Managers. I had never heard of that. But I know now. I know now. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue. Don't forget, coming up top of the hour, Mayor John Lee of North Las Vegas. He is a candidate for governor on the GOP slate. We'll get a chance to talk to him just after 2:05. And don't forget, coming up at 3 o'clock, it's Wayne Allen Root. War. Oh, I just can't wait. And I bet you he'll have something to say about 6.8% inflation, the increase. It's just, it's pathetic what's going on. We'll talk about that and more coming up as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
The revolution is being broadcast.
We're not gonna take it.
Wayne Allen Root, this afternoon, 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Anymore.
D.C. politicians are proposing new tax increases on American industries. Just as we begin to recover from the pandemic, politicians want to experiment with risky new taxes, weakening the U.S. economy, making us less competitive when we can least afford it. America's recovery counts on all of us. We can't afford more taxes. Tell Catherine Cortez Masto, don't overtax American industry. Get the facts at coalitionforamericanjobs.org. Paid for by the Coalition for American Jobs.
Hey, Kevin Wall here with a special message for those of you who have experienced hearing loss. Maybe you've worked in the service industry and years of loud music have taken a toll on your hearing. Or maybe you're like me, years of overdriven radio stations.